shoot. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two-Time in the house. And guess what? I'm a little quiet. I'm a little soft right now because I ain't got my other co-conspirators with me, my other deplorables. So it's just me and my main man. What's up, Salty Salt? What's good?
Oh, shit, man. Oh, yeah. We're missing Jeremy and Heidi. What are they doing? Are they working on their house? Has something else happened?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, their house. Dude, he's rebuilding his whole house because of the floods, and he's got to work tonight. So, you know, he's just, you know, doing domestic stuff, you know. This is a little impromptu show, The Salty Show. But, you know, we're going to always deliver for our, you know, wonderful, deplorable.
Definitely, man. And a lot of shit happened. Oh, my God. Let's see. Abolish the Electoral College, packing the courts, disarming America, and more conservative censorship. Just another week of the tyrannical left. So we had the Chauvin trial was this week, and the mob is asking for another sacrificial scapegoat. The media complied and are now defending a knife-wielding 16-year-old, but mostly peaceful child. Hey, man, kids fight. Don't call the cops. Also, COVID? Is it finally over? Let's check with Dr. Fauci, who seems upset that the Chauvin trial took him out of the limelight. All right, we're going to talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show. We don't have Jeremy to do the
Salty Show.
.com. Well, you did that. We won't tell Jeremy you did it better than him.
With my raspy ass Bart Simpson voice.
Exactly. All right. So let's talk about what happened. And now, obviously, the trial of the century, you know what I mean? What can we talk about that has not been talked about as it relates to Chauvin? But for those of you who've been living under a rock, we're going to cover a little bit about what transpired. So one of the first things that I want to mention, dude, Maxine Waters. Did you see what she said? I mean, I know you did, but to the listener, did you hear what Maxine Waters said to a crowd? She crossed state lines and, what would you say, Tim? Incites a mob?
You see, that's the problem, right? They didn't go out and do anything right then and there, but her words definitely riled up the crowd. So you can, inciting's there. I mean,
yeah,
they voted to censor her, and you know, and
all the Democrats
voted
party
lines, but even the Democrats, a lot of Democrats came didn't say that it wasn't easy, but they stuck to party lines just because, you know, any weakness in the Democratic Party right now, if they show any sign of weakness, then their agenda's done because they'll turn on each other because they're on the fringe right now to begin with.
Yeah, it'll be a feather that breaks them apart. You know, obviously they're better at holding the rank, you know, holding the ship together, their ship together, than Republicans, but because if you compare it to the January 6th, immediately every single Republican came out and condemned what happened. Every single one.
Even but you have Trump not heard for saying that he incited it.
Yeah, and they even and he didn't. All he said was, "Guys, let's go out there, let's protest peacefully." Oh, but that was enough for them to be like. Meanwhile, let me play this for our listeners. This is Maxine Waters, folks. Listen to what she says. This is a representative, Democratic representative of the United States, inciting violence.
What needs to happen that's different this year than all the years before?
We're looking for a guilty verdict. We're looking for a guilty verdict, and we're looking to see if all of the talk that took place and has been taking place after they saw what happened to George Floyd. If nothing does not happen, then we know that we've got to not only stay in the street, that we've got to fight for justice. But I am very hopeful, and I hope that we're going to get a verdict that is say guilty, guilty, guilty. And if we don't, we cannot go away.
And not just manslaughter, right? I mean...
Oh, no, not manslaughter. No. This is guilty for murder. I don't know whether it's in the first degree, but as far as I'm concerned, it's first degree.
It's coming from what happens if you don't...
I'm going to leave it there. And I played it so that you could, you know that we're not taking her out of context. And one thing that she said was, you know, we're going to stay on the street and we're going to fight. That's what she said, folks. Now she said, we're going to fight for justice. But imagine if Trump had said that on January 6th, folks, we're going to go over there to Congress and we're going to fight for justice. Oh, my God. And then something else that she said here that nobody calls her out on it was she was asking for first-degree murder. He wasn't even being charged for that. So she was calling
for charged for second, but.
Yeah, but she wanted first degree. She says, we're not going to take, we want first-degree murder. And it's like, well, obviously he's not even being charged for that. So you're going to, fight regardless of what happens. And that's their goal. Right. This has been their goal all along for the Democrats, you know, because what does she mean? Right. We're going to fight anyways. So you see, this is not about justice, folks. This is about creating enough chaos so that then the Democrats can come in and say, well, this is why we need more government power. And this is why we need to expand our power. And this is exactly what they're doing. The George Floyd jury, for those of you who don't know, was not sequestered, meaning that they weren't held from not being able to watch news, from using their phones. They were advised to be wise, but you know damn well they didn't. You know damn well they were watching. And this obviously would affect the verdict. Anybody knows this. And even the defense attorney, you know, came out and requested that there be a mistrial because of the media's irresponsible reporting and the fact that, again, the jury was not sequestered and that fact that you have congresswomen calling for people to fight for justice if they don't get their way. And, you know, the judge hears this. He denied the mistrial, but he did make some remarks directed at Maxine Waters for what she said. And even suggested that the whole trial could be overturned on appeal. And so, you know, liberals right now, everybody's celebrating and they're, you know, rejoicing. But this is going to be short-lived, and it's going to be short-lived because of their what they did. But for the listener, I need to play exactly what the judge said, because people are going to act surprised when this gets overturned. But you can't be surprised, because you cannot threaten a jury. And that's exactly what was done.
Yeah, so even the governor, he chimed in right away. The mayor of Minnesota, of Minneapolis, he chimed in with comments. The president of the United States, chimed in before the verdict, like as they were deliberating. So everyone's going, oh, my God, like I'm not a lawyer. So I don't know the whole law. I don't know the ins and outs of laws. But when I see a lot of people, a lot of lawyers that actually understand law, they practice law, they were like, this is going to get overturned in appeals. They said it should have been a mistrial, but nobody, they weren't going down that route. The judge wasn't throwing it out. He was not, let it go to the appeal, let it boom. You know what I mean? Yep. He wasn't going to play that. But a lot of when lawyers are going, what the fuck? They go, if this was any other case, this would have definitely been thrown out.
Yeah, if you know, it would,
because of
if it would have been a white guy and a black man had his knee on him like that, nobody would be saying anything.
Oh, this it's not even about a cop, but like at any trial that where people come out, you know,
okay, that's what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? In any kind of trial, if what happened, if people were speaking out and saying fight, and people would be like, no, mistrial, because you are now, you know, threatening jurors. You had the media coming out saying this is what we know about them so far during the trial. And you're just like, they would, whether or not you want to believe it or not believe it, or just say it's a coincidence and the media is doing their job, putting facts out, even if it's not a full name and address. But if they're giving tidbits of like, oh, this is what we know so far. We know their ages. We know, you know, their orientations. We know their occupations. You know, when they throw things like that on, you're going, well, if they know everything about me, what's to say that if this doesn't go the right way, that they don't just say, oh, we mysteriously, we miraculously found their names and addresses, and here you go.
So,
you
know, so I mean? let's talk about, and I told you, we said this as they were deliberating, which is, and when they said they came to a verdict within, in 16 hours, they had come to a verdict. When I heard that, I knew right then and there at the, you know, it was short. 16 hours may seem like a long time, but relative to, you know, what he's being charged, you would think that it would take longer, maybe a week, but it didn't. And so let's think about what they said, because if they do second degree, that means that he had to have intended to kill him. And how do you prove, you can't prove that. There was no evidence that the prosecution presented that said, oh yeah, he was out to get George Floyd. And so that's how you know that the jury was scared for their life, because they said, if we do anything less than this, it's not just their lives, it's their family's lives. They would, you know what I'm saying? They affect, you know, and some of these people, they have kids. Some of these people lived in those neighborhoods that were going to get tormented. You think those people could have a normal life after that? No.
See, it's easy to jump to that conclusion, right? You know, based on them not being sequestered, right? That's how I see that. Because everything is out there, you would think that for something this high profile that you would say, don't be sequestered, because this is a, you know, this is a slippery, you know, this is a slippery slope case, right? Because this is going to also change the way officers police in officers' minds, you know, hey, you get a call. Oh, shit, I'm not doing anything. Well, why didn't you stop? Why didn't you stop the crime? Nope. Not going to happen. You know, Cops are going to stop policing, you know, and not saying that being a police officer means you put your knee on your neck and hold them for 9.5 minutes. I'm not saying that, but just doing your job, because every little step, misstep seems to be happening.
See,
you know?
But Tim,
cops like, showing up.
So I'll tell you this, because I agree with Candace Owens. I don't know if you saw Candace Owens' tweets, man. Candace Owens is on fire. And Candace Owens is not giving any room to, you know, because this is what happens when you say, well, you know, the knee on the neck and this and that. Boom. You let them in to make their case. And I agree with her in the sense that you don't need to do that. And this is why. If you're going to be mad, and this is what the defense presented, if you're going to be mad at Derek Chauvin for having the knee on the neck, you should be mad at the state, and the state should be the one on trial, not him. Yes. And the fact that there was nobody in the jury who could persuade, right? To me, again, not that they weren't logical. I believe that there were people who would have fought. But the second that you see on TV that riots are, they're about to explode in your backyard, and you're one of those people who decides that, now what do you do? So, of course, this, and so the question becomes, why would this judge not do that? Now, like you said, maybe he gave them opportunity to say, hey, you should probably be watching the news because, you don't, you know, your life is at stake. But then, is that really justice? Then it's fake. It is not justice. You know, the law does not go to sleep when the mob is asking for a sacrifice. Do you see what I'm saying? Justice is blind.
So I know we're going to get into this, where you're going to see the real effect, because you got to see everything happen in real time, was what happened yesterday. I know we'll get into that in a little bit, but during the Chauvin trial, I can't say his name, Chauvin,
Yeah. This one's like chode.
You know what I mean? during, you know, as they were releasing, you know, deliberating about to give the verdict, then you had what happened in Ohio where that, what, 13 or 15 year old, I keep seeing different numbers, but, you know, the teenager that got shot by the cop, who she called the cops saying somebody was in the house. But when he got there, she had a freaking butcher knife and she was about to stab this girl.
Yeah.
Right. And the cop unloaded on her. So now, but you saw the whole body cam that it's not like, oh, he, you know, what do you do in that situation? I'm not a cop. People say, why didn't he use his taser? Why didn't he do this? Well, if he used his taser, right? I'm just playing it out. If he used his taser, right? Taser, but she still went through and stabbed the girl. Now what? You got a girl that got tased and the girl still got stabbed and possibly died. Okay, that's number one. Number two, he tases the wrong person. Possibly, right?
Right.
It happens, right? Something goes wrong. Girl still gets stabbed. Cop still at fault. Cop shoots. Kill, you know, and now you have that. Now, let's say the cop did nothing and let it all play out. The cop's still at fault. What was he supposed to do? Like, I don't know what people expected a cop in that situation to do. What would anybody do in that situation? I have a feeling that most people would have probably popped some shots.
Let me put it bluntly, because this is the truth. Everybody who was involved, aside from the cop, everybody who was involved was black. Am I wrong? In the fight?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe
the girl who was about to stab and the girl who was going to get stabbed were both black. Okay? Why would you call a cop? If cops are out here killing people, like we're being told, right? We're burning cities. And when I say we, I'm just doing the, you know, the society is burning cities because cops kill minorities. This is what we're being told. If that's the case, why are minorities calling cops? Right? Why would I call somebody who hates me? You see what I'm saying? It makes no sense. But nobody asks this question. Everybody just wants to paint a picture. And, they're going to come to his defense. And I just saw a tweet, and maybe you were going to allude to this, but I saw a tweet from LeBron James. Did you see what LeBron James
did? He deleted it.
He was forced to delete it because of the backlash. So what does he do? LeBron James, the basketball superstar, tweets out the picture of the police officer and basically says, "You're next." That's what he says. He says, "You're next." And then something about justice. What does he say?
Hashtag accountability.
Accountability. There you go. So you're next. You know, and Twitter doesn't suspend him. Twitter doesn't say you've incited violence, right? He was forced to delete it because people read that and they're like, this is wrong. You can't do that. And the backlash was so strong. I guarantee you there are people who were next to him who were like, bro, you need to remove this because you are putting an officer's life in danger and you haven't listened to the entire case.
Well, and the video where everyone's going, wait a minute, you know, the girl was getting ready to kill someone and right. he defused the situation and saved a person's life doing right. what a cop is supposed to do. So one life got lost to save a life. One life was going to probably get lost. The cop doesn't show up. A life is still probably getting lost. Because if she follows through, because that was a big ass knife. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that maybe she could have lived. Maybe she did. I don't know. But there would have been a stabbing. A victim would have got stabbed. Right. And then she would have fled. They would have arrested her. And then she'd be in jail. What people are trying to say is that the cop did it out of racial issues. What he's seeing there is criminal getting ready, you know, or victim, whatever, protruder, you know, whatever, getting ready to stab victim. He's not looking at race, age. He's like, I got to save this person's life from dying, right? That's serve and protect, right? But maybe his decision will be you know, said that he should have did this, this, and I don't know. You have, that was probably a 2 second split thinking. What would anybody, that's why I said, what would anybody do in that situation? But did you see the video? See, this is why I'm glad they released the body cam video right away and they had it on, because even when the victim of the stabbing, or the girl that was about to get stabbed, right, she was getting ready, they were walking her to the police car to take her in for a statement and everything. But as they were walking, they were like, so what happened? They were like, that girl was trying to stab me, and he showed up and he got her. He had to put her down. That was on camera, yeah, when she, you know, on the body cam video. So the girl that was about to get stabbed wasn't upset about that girl dying. You know what I mean?
Well,
I
think no, because she was happy about
her life being saved.
Exactly.
Right. So,
I'd be like, thank you for killing, you know, because if I'm in her situation and I have a Latino coming at me with a knife and a white cop.
Anybody, it doesn't matter.
But what I'm seeing, I'm painting this for them, yeah, right? Because they're trying to sell us a race, war, and it's a white cop. I hope that the white cop saves me, and I'm going to be grateful. Now, look,
I don't care if it's a white cop, black cop, this cop, anybody in that situation. Let's ask anybody in that situation. Okay, XYZ, you're about to get stabbed, right? What would you want the cop to do in that situation when she's in full swing getting ready to bring it into you? What would you like a cop to do? If you say, I would like the cop to do nothing, tase, or jump in front of shoot, Tim, most people are going to say, save my life.
But see, this is
whatever
this,
it takes to save my life.
But see, this, you're not looking at it from the lens that they wear. You are right. Any rational person would say that. I could care less about what the race of the cop is. I would rather, you know, be saved from being stabbed. But today's Democrat Party, today's leftist woke crazies out there, they're out there, folks. They wouldn't answer your question honest. Maybe for them it would be honest because this is how they view it. But they wouldn't answer it how rational people would, which is, this is what they would say. Well, first of all, what is the race of the police officer? Okay, well, no, I don't want the white police officer to, because again, that's how they view the world. So you know how you can tell that this whole thing is fake, this outrage, right? That's been inflamed by the media, dude, and the Democrats, because of how high the stakes are. Whenever shit like this happens, you know, if police officers were going around killing black people at will, you wouldn't need to focus on just these and ignore everything else that's happening, right? The black on black crime, the fact that cops are killing more white people than they are killing black people. There is no cops, you know, are targeting black people. That is a lie. The statistics are prove it. You know, you would be talking about, if this was an issue, if this was a real issue, we would be talking about an outstanding citizen, a model to the society, being unnecessarily bullied and killed by an officer. But that's not what's happening. What's happening is there's a few cases that are basically statistically negligible, right? Very similar to COVID. This is how they treat everything, dude. They highlight, they put a focus on a thing, and they make it bigger than what it is just so that they can sell their idea. So they magnify the problem, push a narrative. And again, it's to gain control, to increase their power, because this is the Democrats, what they've been doing all this time. Minorities, Hispanics, the poor, the working class, you need us to be saved from the rich, white, capitalist male. And the second that society wakes up and realizes that there's no big white boogeyman after them, that's the day the Democratic Party, the leftists, the woke, and I say leftist because even Biden has gone left, because he knows he cannot win the election if he doesn't continue, you know, moving further left. And let me play this, because Chauvin's defense attorney made a great point, and I think it's worth mentioning. Aside from the fact that the judge, again, basically said, this, you know, could be overturned at the Supreme Court.
Correct, Your Honor, as the court is aware and as prior to coming into court this morning for closing arguments, we had an in-chambers discussion about events of this weekend, specifically referencing that an elected official, United States congressperson, was making what I interpreted to be, and what I think are reasonably interpreted to be, threats against the sanctity of the jury process, threatening and intimidating a jury, demanding that if there's not a guilty verdict, that there would be further problems, Your Honor. And given the fact that this jury has not been sequestered, it has been my position all along throughout the course of this case that this jury should have been sequestered.
Wait, so he's basically making the same points that we did. And the judge then responds to him and says, look, you have a case, you know, and it might be overturned if it gets all the way to the Supreme Court. Now, somebody else who commented on the very irresponsible, borderline, calling for violence. I don't know if you saw this, Tim, but Representative Jim Jordan's erupts at the hypocrisy. So he had a couple wins, Jim Jordan, this week, even with Dr. Fauci. So we're going to play some of these. He's on fire. But let me play in relation to the Chauvin and the fact that the Democrats, not one single Democrat, condemned in the House vote Maxine Waters, right? This is why it was foolish for Republicans to condemn and even suggest that Trump incited insurrection. But they don't never learn the lesson, dude. They never learn their lesson, because Democrats stick together. Republicans, they cave. They're like, oh, yeah. Condemn it all. And then meanwhile, their supporters are like, wow, okay.
The Republicans really don't like each other. They're all fighting for power.
Yeah.
They all want to be the Mitch McConnell. It's like they're all trying to get that schnitzel that only a few are allowed to have. A lot of the Democrats have it, but they want that same. They want to be in that club that McConnell and the Romneys and, you know, the ones that always get to go see the
president.
You know
what I mean?
But the ones that have set up this bullshit system of selling this country out to China and everybody wants the money. They don't give a shit about the people. They want to tell you they do, but they want that Chinese money. They want. Don't get me started on. We'll get into that.
All right.
In a minute.
So let me play Jim Jordan here. And again, it's worth playing because he makes valid points, folks. Valid points.
The gentlelady from Florida said Republicans care about law enforcement today. We've cared about law enforcement all the time. It's been the Democrats. We condemned the violence on January 6th, and we condemned it last summer. It'd have been nice if our colleagues on the other side had done the same. All last summer, when police were being pelted with frozen water bottles, bricks, and beat up, where were they? They were raising bail money to bail out the rioters and looters who were doing those very actions to the police. And today we get a lecture about how we haven't been consistent? You got to be kidding me. We've been consistent. You guys haven't, and you know it. That's why you're
he's on fire, man. I'm going to play more of him. Now, the same people who sent out SWAT teams and forced churches to shut down and sent FBI, you remember this, he's saying FBI agents to people who tweeted in support of the January 6th insurrection, as they call it. And all those people are now going to remain silent. As cities, because cities are going to burn, folks. They're just going to they're looking for anything to burn a city. That's why they move so quickly to the next issue. So it didn't even last a day. It didn't even last a day, and they were already on to the next issue. That is now if we don't get our way here, we're going to burn cities. If we don't get, it's like we are caving into the mob. Yep.
Oh, definitely caving. But what's even more, it should be more eye-opening to everybody, is that within, 4 or 5 hours of that shooting in Ohio happening, they were fully organized, taking over the street, marching, lights blaring into the police station. They had their shields, and they were all bouncing on the street. And I'm like, how did they get organized so quick? So when people go, it's not organized, no. That shit is organized. You just don't all show up at the same time with every color coordinated, all the shields made in yellow. Like, guys, that shit takes a little bit of time to make. So this shit is, they're heavily, heavily funded, yep, coordinated, and, you know, somebody's pulling the strings. And you're not going to admit that that's real, then you know what?
Dude, and this
burn
goes,
the cities and get what
this
you
goes as high as government officials. It goes even to social media platforms. It goes, dude, you know these people are being funded by big money. Because look at this. Remember, again, on January 6th, any Proud Boy, anybody who even tweeted anything about Proud was banned from Twitter. But yet here we have Antifa saying, they tweeted out this. Let me read it for you.
Huh.
Chauvin verdict to be announced within an hour. Here are emergency actions planned for tonight, regardless of the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they were planning to riot, to protest, regardless of what happened. So they weren't worried about, oh, we want justice. No, they want to burn cities. And the irony here is that they are very upset, Antifa and BLM are very, very upset at Joe Biden. Because what did Joe Biden do? And he had to do this because the city, Minnesota, Minneapolis, it was going to burn, folks. They were going to burn that city down. So what did they do? They sent in the military in there, the National Guard. And again, they tweeted out and they're like, oh, well, look, this is what Biden, this is not Trump. This is they were upset. Antifa and BLM. It was like, this is not Trump, folks. This is Biden. So, you know, obviously they don't respect Biden. Now, as you said earlier, I'm going to say this. You know, if you're a police officer in these cities, leave. The state has proven that they're not going to support you. In fact, they're going to go after you. They will throw
they
you.
They built you.
Exactly.
They built you. They put you through the training and gave you the guns and told you the procedures. And they made you into that.
Right.
They told you, put a knee on the back of the neck or the shoulder, whatever, to keep a person down. And didn't say for how long. These are their instructions.
Right.
Right. So again, be mad at the ordinances creating this, the government entities creating this, because once again, where everybody's missing the big picture. Let's look at this. Okay. Minnesota. What has that been run by for how many? What is that
Democrats.
Run by currently?
Who? Democrats. Top
Columbus.
To bottom.
Columbus. Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Democrat. Mayor. Chicago, where the 13-year-old kid got killed just the other day. You know, that everybody quickly, you know, went away from him. You know what I mean? That got killed by the cop. So you got three major cities in the Midwest with issues of teenage kids getting killed by police under Democratic watch. And if they say that the system is broken and it's systemic and everything, you need to look at the people running this shit for the last, because they're the ones creating the rules. You have to open your eyes. The people that are creating the police force, that are running the police force, running your cities, tell you, oh, I'm going to help you get out of poverty and we love you and blah, blah, blah. What have they done? Look at all these cities. Has those impoverished areas gotten any better? Look at Chicago. They've been run by Democrats pretty much the entire time. Has the city of Chicago in the rough areas, in the poor areas, ever gotten better? Or has it gotten worse? Okay. Look at Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Detroit, parts of New York City. You know, there's parts of Manhattan. Look at Harlem. Harlem was one of the most beautiful fucking parts of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And then they overflowed it with drugs. They infiltrated and put drugs in that because I don't think they wanted Harlem to succeed. I honestly think that Harlem was sabotaged by the government because that was progress and they didn't want to see that in the 50s. That's my opinion. Okay. But you look at all these cities. the South Bronx. That shit's been pouring on fire forever. Come on, guys. Open your eyes. This shit has been run by Democrats for so long. And they've promised you everything. And what do? Yeah, they promise you bigger checks.
Yeah, they keep them.
Oh, yeah, we need to help you. And they give you a bump on that. They're not helping you. They're not helping you. When they say they want to get rid of school choice and give it all to the school. No, that's that's hurting you. If you have a choice to go to this shit school or this great school, I'm going to go to this great school if I got that opportunity. Why do I need to go to the shit school where they get the worst teachers that don't give a shit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not helping me grow my life and get better. You say you want to help me get out of this. Don't take away school choice. Like, how can you help me help myself get out of this? It's been run by this group for so long in all these cities, and it's only getting worse. You know, just the other day, I saw a video. City of Phoenix, BLM Phoenix, posted on their video, affiliate. They were like, we have all this stuff in areas that need to be taken care of, but what did the city of Phoenix do? They decided to give cops a raise instead of helping out the community. Who is the mayor of Phoenix? Kate Gallego, and she's a Democrat, a progressive Democrat. So please stop saying that it's Republicans causing this, because look at your local municipalities. Most of them are run by Democrats. Mm-hmm. Every major city is run by Democrats and has been for a very, very long time. And a lot of these states have Democrat mayors, Democrat governors. So you cannot say that it was Donald Trump's fault at the federal level, saying that he kept you poor. Sorry. No, you have to look at this shit.
These communities were poor before Trump even got became president.
But even anybody, when you say the white man's keeping, yes, the liberal led, the liberal run cities are all run by mostly white people, and they tell poor people how that they're going to help them. Sorry, you're not helping them.
No, but see, this is where we have to acknowledge that it's not because for a long time, we've been saying they don't know how to run cities, right? Oh, they just don't know. Okay. A part of it is that they need a permanent victim class, a permanent bottom part of society that's going to rely on them, because these are the people that are going to continue to vote for them. You keep them poor because they'll continue to need you. And the poor have, this, it's a love-hate relationship, because on the one side, you like that check that you get from the government. On the other side, you're living in poverty. So you're never escaping from that, because you're never doing anything for yourself, because the government gives you just enough so that you are complacent and you lose the interest to progress and get better. You make your life better. Here's my message to, if you're a conservative citizen in these cities, in Minnesota, and leave, because this is what's going to happen. Your tax dollars are going to be used as a reparations in the expansion of government. And what's happening is that these same people who vote for their ideas because, oh my God, our ideas are amazing and we're just very open and hell, oh shit, my city's going to hell and I can't afford it. Let me move to Texas. And so they're moving to Texas and they're continue to vote for their shit ideas. Meanwhile, conservatives are left in these states to clean them up. Well, here's what I say: leave. Conservatives need to start going to Texas so that so that Texas never turns blue. Conservatives should be leaving.
So you saw what the sheriff in Florida said, right? At his press conference, where he showed the video of he's like, this is what we love in Florida. We love going to Disney World. We like going to the beach. Look at this happiness. And he goes, this, and he shows pictures of, right. He's like, no, this is not good. And he goes, we want everybody coming to move to Florida. We want you to move to Florida. But he goes, just remember why you left. He goes, you're leaving those miserable policies of the Northeast to come here. Don't bring it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey Mouse and fun, not high taxes and chaos. Remember why you left. Don't bring that shit here.
And I was like,
finally somebody said it.
And you know what? But they get they got the spine because Trump gave him that. Number two, they have a great, one of the last sane governors in America, DeSantis, who, by the way, he said, if you're going to riot in Florida, and if you're going to create chaos, you're going to jail. And it's not just going to be a couple of days. You know, you're going to go to jail for a while, and he's going to make it hurt. And you think they're going to go out and riot in Florida? And if they do, they're going to be facing a long time. And this is what needs to happen, because there's a difference between peaceful protests and violence and burning cities. And you know what side has been burning cities. Oh, the news won't stop talking about January 6th insurrection. Oh my God, I can't believe it. They're clutching their pearls. And meanwhile, the city's burned. All last year, dude. All last year. And they said shit. They're fucking liars. I'm done with them.
Even in the Brooklyn Center, they would send looting and setting shit on fire after that little, after that kid got shot. You know, a very unfortunate situation about the kid getting shot. Not good. But when you go destroy the stores, I mean, you threw fire in there. That's never good. You're hurting. All you're doing is hurting your community, because now the dollar people that went to work at those stores can't go to work. They're not getting paid. You know what I mean? So now you just if they decide not to come back, now you just lost all that revenue. It's making the problem worse.
Right.
It doesn't help.
You can tell that the Democrats just use these things. Again, they use it for power. Nancy Pelosi gave a speech, and I have to play this because, for those of you who don't follow this, you need to hear this from their mouths, dude. Nancy Pelosi thanking George Floyd for his sacrifice and for, they're using this. They're like, oh, see, you don't let a good tragedy go to waste. Oh, they're going to cash in on this. To them, this type of tragedy is a cash cow for Democrats. It's a cash cow because they can continue to come and say, oh, see, this is why you need us and this is why you need to support us. And people are like, yeah. And BLM goes out and buys mansions, and Nancy Pelosi, can buy another mansion and continue to stay in power. Let me play this because, again, this is worth listening to.
Yeah, this was a little disgusting.
If Twitter didn't
tweet all unavailable.
Oh wow, dude. Yeah, dude. Twitter's doing. They are. I don't know what to do anymore. I I'm not lying to you.
Rumble. You got to go on Rumble and bookmark this shit.
Yeah, I got to start downloading
Rumble.
Again,
yeah.
Well, basically, she comes out again thanking George Floyd for his sacrifice. Biden calls the Floyd family and puts on a show for the cameras. All of it is very staged and choreographed by the Democrats. They're treating George Floyd as if he was a martyr, Christ-like, even, thanking him, a lifetime criminal, dude. And this is what Candace Owens was saying. You're idolizing a lifetime criminal, a guy who tormented people. He did, dude. And it's all fake. They don't care about justice. They just use these tragedies as a mean to expand their power. I'm going to continue to say that. You eat their division and lies out of their feeding troughs while they dine in their fucking porcelain china plates, from the safety of their gated communities. They're going to dip you in the sewers of convenient tragedy. This is what they're doing, man. The Democrats are fucking conniving. While they bathe in their mansions surrounded by the very armed law enforcement, they villainize.
100%.
This is what they do, man. There are people that believe, right, that one day, January 6th, quote unquote, of insurrection, is equal to a year of cities burning.
Dude,
it's fucking insanity.
You got to look in the mirror too. You got to look at the facts. Okay. I'm going to go back to my little spiel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Democrat ran cities for years. Okay. They let crime gets out of control, gangs, drugs, and everything. So what do they decide to do? They turn around and go, oh, we're going to create a revitalization program for these neighborhoods, aka gentrification, which means, hey, if people want to move in there, we're going to give, you know, we're going to take this one block and we're going to say, if you can come in and you have to come into this neighborhood, buy a house or whatever apartment, and you have to live there for 10 years, right? And then after that, you can sell it. Then what happens is some prominent people, you know, they wind up buying pieces of land saying, we're going to move here. And then their friends come in and then they buy up the whole block. But now once they come in, oh, wow, we have these people on the block. We got to secure it more. Now we start pushing everybody out further and further and further. And then more people could keep coming in and buying up that land. Right. We call that gentrification. Right. Who is causing that? Again, Democrats. Who goes into those neighborhoods a lot of times? Democrats. Who, you know, the financial people, this people, who gets along. So once again, they run neighborhoods down by allowing this shit to happen, right? Bad policy. You know, they don't do anything to help communities to get out of poverty, right? But then they say, well, we're going to fix it by gentrification. Well, they just kick everybody out. That's not helping the problem. You're just moving somewhere else and say, oh, man, systemic racism is the problem. Bitch, you're the one causing this shit. And people don't call them out on it. And Republicans are in on it, too. But in the cities, you know, the Democrats are the ones making the policies. So, yeah, Republicans are going to jump in on it. They're just as bad. But if they can make a million, they're saying why not? But the policies a lot of times are run by the Democrats. So why are we not having that conversation? Why is this not being called out?
Let me address, because I understand what you're trying to do when you equate, you know, there's corruption. People are a spectrum. You're going to have the bad, and then on the other end, you're going to have the good, and everybody falls somewhere in the middle, all right, or anywhere along that spectrum. But, and that's why I attack leftist ideas. It is leftist ideas, because regardless, you could be a good intention, like that person who buys a home in a gentrified neighborhood. You can be a good intentioned liberal who thinks, oh, I'm doing great. But like you said, Tim, now you've disenfranchised a group of people who now have to be forced to move out and find a home. It wasn't a Republican who did that. It wasn't a Democrat who did it. It was a leftist idea that has caused this. And it's leftist ideas that are cancerous. Yeah, for every Democrat that you find that is Republican that you find that is corrupt, you will find 10, 20 Democrats who are doing corrupt things, who are making shit worse because they believe these ideas. So I'm with you. You know, people come in all shapes and sizes. That's why when somebody tells me, oh, you know, we should pay teachers more, I don't agree. No, not a blanket pay all teachers more. No, we pay
you pay
good
great
teachers
more,
not fucking all teachers, because there are some shitty teachers out there. The same thing with nurses who during this whole COVID, everybody was trying to paint them as saints. It's like, no, I've seen some nurses who are fucking doing TikTok videos who, and people are waiting in line. It's like, no, fuck that shit. Stop it. So there are professions that are altruistic by nature, but human beings come in all packages, shapes and sizes, and they're going to be anywhere. And that applies to Democrat and that applies to Republican. However, there's ideas, leftist ideas that are cancerous, that ruin societies. And that's where we're making the distinction. Now, let me move on to the next topic we did talk. So I did want to talk about a little bit about Dr. Fauci, that fucking little weasel. And he had a confrontation with Jim Jordan, and it's so worth watching this, dude, because Jim Jordan asks Dr. Fauci an important question, which is, when is the lockdowns going to end, Dr. Fauci? And this should show you that they don't intend for this to end. Do you remember that? Remember that Bart Simpson? One of the first few episodes, I think, is Bart's in the car, And he's saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Remember that? Remember that? Are we there yet?
Yeah. Vaguely, but yeah, I remember.
So that was like, you know, everybody, when that came out, everybody's like, are we there yet? So this is how the Democrats keep people along. It is like, people are like, well, are we there yet? Oh, no, almost. Look, it's a, are we there yet? Oh, just relax. Everything's coming. Meanwhile, here we are more than a year later. And shit, some places are still shut down and, you know, not open 100%. And Jim Jordan is asking a question, a very valid question, which is, Dr. Fauci, when is this going to end? Can you give us some solid numbers on when we reach this goal, then the country can open back up? And the fucking weasel cannot answer the question. I'm going to play this. This is worth listening to.
When is the time? When do Americans get their freedom back? Can you put your microphone on, please?
Sorry. When we get the level of infection in this country low enough that it is not a really high threat.
What is low enough? Give me a number. What I mean, we had 15 days to slow the spread, turned into 1 year of lost liberty. What metrics, what measures, what has to happen before Americans get their freedoms back?
My message, Congressman Jordan, is to get as many people vaccinated as quickly as we possibly can, to get the level of infection in this country low that it is no longer a threat. That is when. And I believe when that happens, you will see.
What determines when?
I'm sorry.
What? What measure? What, I mean, are we just going to continue this forever? Or when do we get to the point? What measure, what standard, what objective outcome do we have to reach before Americans get their liberty and freedoms back?
You know, you're indicating liberty and freedom. I look at it as a public health measure to prevent people from dying and going to the hospital.
You don't think Americans' liberties have been threatened the last year, Dr. Fauci? They've been assaulted. Their liberties have.
I don't look at this as a liberty thing.
Okay, so I'm gonna talk a little bit about this, and I'm gonna play. But I need to highlight some things here. And so when I first listened to this, I asked myself, well, what is the reason why he's being, you know what I mean? Like he's really avoiding the question. He's not answering the question directly. He answers it with vague statements. You know, if I tell you, hey, Tim, you know, when are you going to come over? You know, some night. What night? You know, some night after 7. Tim, I need to be prepared for when you're going to show up. Yeah, well, I'll be there. Don't worry about it. Well, I'm not worried.
Yeah,
I'm
Tuesday, I got to work. On Saturday, I got to do this. Friday, I got to do this. But I'll be there one of these nights after 7.
Yeah. And so Jim Jordan, you know, fucking God bless Jim Jordan. God damn it. You know, he is doing a fabulous job. Again, two issues here. Huh?
Talks way too fucking. Yeah. He's like, dude, slow your roll on the cocaine, man.
These people sometimes need it that way because Dr. Fauci thinks he's fucking God, gets to decide when America goes back, and he's enjoying this fucking, he's enjoying it, dude. And so you got to put him on the spotlight. You got to fucking make him squeal. And that's what Jim Jordan is doing. And you can tell Fauci is getting very uncomfortable here, and he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. And you'll see that he gets very confrontational. Now, another thing that I'm thinking, why doesn't Fauci want to answer this question? Why is he avoiding it? And so let me ask you, Tim, why do you think, like, because I kind of alluded to why I think, but why do you think he's avoiding to answer it? It's to me, it's a simple answer. It's like, look, if we get it under this number, then yeah, we can open the country up. But if it goes further up again, we'll shut it back down. He doesn't say that. He just says when it comes reasonable. What's that? What's that number?
Because there's three answers, I believe. One, he really doesn't know, right?
Okay.
Because if he says, oh, I got to get it down by 10,000, you know, we got to have 10,000 infections a day. That's a tolerable number. The minute it hits 10,000, oh, open up, and now it goes back up, and shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two, if he goes against the grain, he's been wrong this whole time. People are going to be out for blood, okay?
Oh, okay. Three,
you know what I'm saying? So, you know, one is he doesn't want to be responsible for a number and for another outbreak because he really has no idea because this shit is crazy. Two, is if, you know,
repercussions.
People be out for blood because, repercussions because wow, shit, you lied. Three, he is playing politics. He's on the side of the Bidens, and he's part of, he's playing what everybody wants him to play. Tell people that you need to be, you know, I got the vaccine, but I'm still going to wear my mask and only limit how many people I have in my house. I'm not going to go out to dinner. I'm still going to live in fear, which you know is bullshit. He's just being very careful on what he does and who he interacts with and make sure there's no fucking cameras around because they got him at the baseball game and he was not happy about that, sitting around without a fucking mask saying, well, I've been around the same people, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? You didn't follow your own rules. So those are my three reasons, because this is bigger than that. And once again, people underestimated this country. Okay, and everybody's still locked down and looking pretty. And all of a sudden, you know, Governor Kemp said, we're opening up Georgia. Right after that, Santas, we're fully opening up Florida. Governor Noem, we're opening up South Dakota. Then all of a sudden, uh-oh, now you got the Southern Belt. You got Texas, Mississippi. I believe Alabama fully opened up. You got Idaho, I believe, took away their mask mandate. Arizona. So now you got all these states going, oh, we're fully open, 100%, no mask mandates. And what did everybody start seeing? Cases gone down. 40,000 people a day at Texas Stadium when they opened up in March, right at the beginning of the baseball season. MLB didn't say, oh, MLB wanted that money too. So they didn't complain about that.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't seeing people dropping down dead in Texas. You ain't seeing people dropping down dead in Arizona, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida. So now people are going, shit. What do we do? What do we do? Because Michigan is seeing the biggest spike and they're fully locked down. But oh, wait, their governor a couple weeks ago, where did she go to go visit her sick dad? I'm okay. Go visit family. But what did she do? She broke her own rules. And where did she go? Florida.
Mm.
The governor of Michigan went to Florida to visit her sick dad.
Yeah.
So people are saying, well, he was sick. Wait. Sink that in. Lock down. Do not leave your house. Florida bad. And the snowbirds are the reason why we're getting sick, because they all went to Florida. But I'm going to go to Florida and I'm going to go see my dad because he's sick. I want you to go see your sick dad. You're supposed to, as a good daughter, child, go see your sick parents.
Right.
But don't come back and not tell nobody and then go, well, I'm vaccinated, so I was really social distancing. Bitch, you weren't wearing a mask down in Florida. You paid attention to who you were around. You made sure you didn't get caught on camera. You were living the good life, because you all know this is bullshit. And all these states are proving it.
Mm-hmm.
California is starting to almost fully open up. New York is kind of getting there. Cuomo gave everybody a little schnitzel. You can go to the bar until midnight now. You know what I mean? I'm going to be really pissed next week, you know, when I'm there, you know? So there's a lot of shit, and like their narrative is falling apart at the seams, because when they go, because Jim Jordan, I'm sure you can play this in the video, when he goes, Dr. Fauci, Texas, fully open for the last month and a half, sees the lowest number. Can you explain that? Fauci couldn't explain it.
Crickets.
He tries doing some bullshit.
Let me play it. Every single one of these questions that Jim Jordan gives this guy is to me, it's a blow. And he can't recover from this, and it's a lie. And if this had been anybody else, the media, this guy would be laughed out. He is not a dot. He's been wrong so many times, like you said. Nobody should be listening to this guy. Here it is.
Jordan.
Well, that's obvious.
As a public health thing.
But
I disagree with you on that.
You think the Constitution is suspended during a virus, during a pandemic? It's certainly not.
This will end, for sure, when we get the level of infection very low. It is now at such a high level, there's a threat again of major surges.
Dr. Fauci, over the last year, Americans' First Amendment rights have been completely attacked. Your right to go to church, your right to assemble, your right to petition your government, freedom of the press, freedom of speech have all been assaulted. I mean, for a year now, Americans haven't been able to go to church. Even today, when they go to church, they're limited in the size of worshipers who can meet. Your right to assemble? Oh, my goodness. We had a curfew last fall in Ohio. You had to be in your home at 10. In Pennsylvania, you had to be in your home. When you're in your home, you had to wear a mask. In Vermont, when you're in your home, you didn't have to wear a mask, Dr. Fauci, because you weren't allowed to have people over to your house.
Yeah, Congressman Jordan.
Your ability to petition your government for a year, American citizens haven't been able to come to their capital to petition their government to talk to their representatives and freedom of the press. These very pictures that Representative Scalise just showed you and talked about, guess what? The press isn't allowed in those facilities. The press is not, the Biden administration will not let the press in there. And certainly freedom of speech. I mean, freedom of, governor of our third largest state meets with physicians, and that video is censored because they dare to disagree with Dr. Fauci. So I just want to know, when do Americans get their First Amendment liberties back?
You know, I don't think anything was censured because they felt they couldn't disagree with me. I think you're making this a personal thing, and it isn't.
It's not a personal thing.
No, you are. That is exactly what you're doing.
No, your recommendations wants to tell him to go fuck himself.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted. The chair of the Financial Services Committee said she loves you, and you're the greatest thing in the world.
Will my recommendations yield? Are consistent.
Will the gentleman yield?
No, it's my
now, could I answer the question, please? My recommendations are not a personal recommendation. It's based on the CDC guidance, which is
question, what measures have to be attained before Americans get their First Amendment liberties back?
I just told you that.
No, you didn't.
I know you haven't given anything specific. You said, we hope when this third... Tell me specifically.
Right now, we have about 60,000 infections a day, which is a very large risk for a surge. We're not talking about liberties. We're talking about a pandemic that has killed 560,000 Americans.
He can't even breathe.
Exactly.
Hey, you know nobody dies of COVID anymore? Notice that the number?
Yeah.
Nobody's dying of COVID anymore. Everybody stopped dying of COVID.
Tim, all those numbers were fucking lies. Because like Jeremy has mentioned before, all of a sudden, COVID cured so many diseases. People didn't die from the normal average diseases that they were dying for. Everything was being attributed to COVID. Those numbers were exploded for political gain. It's all a lie.
But COVID was the number three. COVID was the number three on the deaths of America. So the normal ones, twos were the same shit. COVID was number three.
And you know what the truth
is? It wasn't the number one. That's not a pandemic.
And you know what the truth is, Tim? Is that if obesity would have been addressed, I think two of those top three would resolve themselves. So you know what the crisis is? Fucking, there's a lot of fat asses of us out there who are living our lives. No, I'm just being the goddamn truth. But see, here's the thing. You can't say that. Oh, no, because now you're fat shaming. Again, liberal policies, folks, are killing people. If we want to get to the underlying issue is liberal policies of you can't shame people are causing people to make bad choices, which means that they're ending up dying and slowly killing themselves. So this is why I say, and this is why I'll liberals come in all shapes and sizes, but their ideas are cancerous. Their ideas are what's killing society. That's why we need to abolish it. Dr. Fauci can't answer a fucking question because, like you said, he's been politicized. I agree with that aspect, and I'll tell you why I agree with you, and that's what I was going to say, because Dr. Fauci came out saying that gun violence is a public health issue, folks. So see how they're moving the goalpost? Now, hey, guess what? We're going to continue locking down because you know what? Gun violence is a public health issue. And to save lives, we're going to keep everybody locked in. This is where it's going, folks. And I'm not making this shit up. So for the listener, I need to play this. Let me play what Dr. Fauci said. Unbelievable.
Before I let you go, I want to ask about another epidemic in the U.S., and that is gun violence. Eight people were shot and killed in a mass shooting in Indianapolis on Thursday night. The U.S. has reported 47 mass shootings in just over a month. You've worked in public health broadly for a long time. Is gun violence in the U.S. a public health emergency?
You know, myself as a public health person, I think you can't run away from that. I mean, when you see people getting killed, I mean, in this last month, it's just been horrifying what's happened. How can you say that's not a public health issue?
Wow. There you go. Look, folks, we should have laughed this guy out of the world stage. He should have been laughed at the minute he contradicted himself a month later when he said you shouldn't be wearing masks today to everybody needs to be wearing a mask to a year later everybody should be wearing two masks. It's fucking insanity. And the numbers, like you said, have gone down. The numbers of people dying from this has gone drastically down to a point where it again, it's a fraction of the population. I know it sounds callous, but folks, we have to live our lives. We cannot live this idea that if you could only save one life, then you know what? Kill yourself, because the air that you're breathing and the things that you're doing could kill one person. So if that's your ultimate goal in society is to save one life, then kill yourself. I'm dead serious. You know why? Because you could spread that to, you know, somebody, your neighbor. No, this is the goddamn truth, dude.
I hear you.
So this idea, because that's what they'll say. Oh, if you could save one life, fuck you, dude. Fuck you. No.
Well, and what's also happening with...
Hey, is your dog...
What's also happening...
What is he doing?
So what's also happening, he's barking at the who's ever walking by. You know, he's fucking Nancy Drew over there. You know what I mean?
He's got to see what's going on.
Yeah, he's the nosiest dog in the world. But anyway, so this is also getting in the way of the vaccine. So when all these states are saying no more masks, fully open, and numbers are going down, people are going, why do I need a vaccine? If the vaccine was supposed to save everybody. And then they're saying, well, even if when you get the vaccine, again, you need to keep social distancing and stay away from people because the vaccine doesn't stop you from getting sick. You will still get COVID. You just, oh, the symptoms might not be bad. And then Pfizer came out and said, oh, yeah, you're going to need a booster shot in come December. Oh, so basically our, you know, the guy that we love, you know, the guy that everybody says Trump, but, you know, Trump enabled Big Pharma again.
Yep.
To get this vaccine, their hands on this vaccine, and people, now you can't go anywhere without this vaccine, guaranteed money, because the states all paid for it once. Mm-hmm. Who pays for it going forward? Then you know you're going to turn, that's $1,000 a pop. It's not covered under insurance. That's going to be the next thing.
Hey,
and so people are going to be like, this is a big fuck you to everybody. Don't get the fucking vaccine.
Yeah, that's why the states right now, and that's why I love what Arizona and Florida and some of these states are doing with saying, hey, fuck your COVID passports. You know, we're not gonna implement this shit. People can do as they please, and we're not gonna be demanding that people fucking get a vaccine in order to travel. Fuck out of here. This is insanity.
And it's gonna get really weird when all of a sudden you're gonna be like, oh, I live in Arizona. I'm gonna go visit my parents in New York. Now you can't go because you have to have a vaccine and a passport to prove it. I'm not doing that. Oh, wow. I want to go visit them. Oh, you need it to get on the plane. Well, I'm not doing that. So where are they getting all this money from? Because if half the country or more than half the country doesn't get a vaccine, doesn't have a passport, then you take away that revenue from travel. Who's paying for this shit? Because, you know, not everybody, you know, if you take away half the people from traveling, only maybe a quarter of that half would actually, but that's still billions of dollars. Like,
but see,
you're totally messing around with dollars.
But that's what they
like,
do every single
you out?
Time, Tim, is the Democrats, what they do is they'll say, oh, we need to pass a stimulus package. And what does that stimulus package do? It bails these states out that have made bad policies. Yeah. That's exactly what they did for Cuomo in New York. They bailed them out.
And California.
Yeah. Yeah, they bailed them out.
And you know, one of the other interesting things that happened over the weekend that nobody's talking about, or maybe it might even be Monday, because, you know, our friends to the north, you know, they're the new communist country of Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Right. They're no longer free. So people, what they don't realize is what's going on in Canada is that they are really like, if you're on the street, the cops are pulling you over and saying, give me your name, your address, and why you are even driving. You're not even allowed outside. You are bound to be inside because the governor couldn't even, you know, fucking get enough vaccines because he's an idiot, right? Probably believed in China saying, oh, we'll give you our vaccine that didn't work. People were going to the border. Canadians were going to the border and they held their flag up upside down. And that is the universal for SOS, come save us. These people are asking to be saved from the tyranny of Canada.
Actually doing, Tim, is they were showing their flashlights and they were doing Morse code to the
Morse
U.S.
code
border.
With the flag upside down.
Yeah, so
yeah,
they were doing they were doing Morse code with their flashlights to the U.S. border, but you're asking America for help.
Yeah. And their flags were upside down.
Yeah.
And their flags were upside down.
Yeah.
So, all that is the universal sign of like, we need help.
Yeah. They've become COVID China. Prisoners in their own land. And see, Democrats because love that.
Their policies.
Like, yeah.
But their policies. But again, they all said, oh, we got to protect people and this. And they had their, we love Trudeau. He's never going to, this bitch is the one talking about the New World Order. And there's your New World Order. You allowed it to happen. Mm-hmm. The difference between us and all these other countries is you have people like DeSantis and Partial Kemp and that other knucklehead from Texas, you know, Abbott. There's things that they're doing that conservative that are conservative stuff. We like the Constitution. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to hold up people prisoners anymore. Right. Should have never went as long, especially in Texas. But he was playing. I think he finally said, fuck it. You know what I mean? But you can't go along with a plan. New York, you want to stay locked down? Great. Well, don't come here to Arizona, love it, and go back there and say, oh, I just came from Arizona. They're all fucked up. No, bitch, you were over here. You know how many out-of-state plates I'm seeing now? We're seeing a boom in people coming to Arizona, Washington, Oregon, California. You know, all they do is they love coming to Arizona, but then all they want to do is say Arizona's a bunch of rednecks and hicks, like I used to say, because I didn't get... No! Freedom!
Right.
Honestly, Arizona... As much as Ducey does some dumb shit, and he also didn't, you know, he's in between, right? But Arizona's free enough where I can go outside, not wear a mask, go to the bar, go to a restaurant. I don't got to worry about none of this shit. Mm-hmm. I don't got somebody tell me when I can take a shit where I can't. You know what? A lot of people, they're not used to this. And people are talking about, what do I do now in post-COVID era? Now, how do I come out of my house? People are literally concerned about going out of their house now.
Wow.
This is how fucked this shit has made people. Dude.
Did I tell you it snowed here today?
Seriously? Global warming, man. Hey, the climate crisis.
I woke up.
$100 trillion like, to one-tenth of a degree.
Freaking hilarious, dude. I wake up, it's freezing in my room, and I'm like, why the hell? So, you know, I come out here, living room, I, you know, open the curtains, and it's a fucking white Christmas. And I'm like, wait, you bullshitting me, man. I'm like, what the hell? Fucking snowed. All right. So there's a few more things that we'll just touch on, which is the Democrats want to do the abolish the Electoral College, packing the courts. They're, you know, making moves to disarm America. They're continuing to, you know, censor conservatives and, you know, the whole CNN thing. So I think I'm going to touch on the three of them. And then unfortunately, we won't be able to cover the rest. But I did want to talk about. I did want to mention, I don't know if you saw this, Tim, but there's a crisis right now that's, you know, again, Biden's weakness is kind of is evident to the world. Tension is rising between U.S. and Russia. Russia, a week ago, expelled 10 American diplomats. He basically put out members of the Biden administration, put him on the no entry list, basically, so they can't enter into the country. Also, right now, they were amassing troops on the border with Ukraine. And a lot of people are saying, well, this is a move because they see it in a position where the United States is now having to decide, you know, obviously we were dealing with our domestic issues at home, but at the same time, you know, Russia is doing things. China is doing things that are putting it into place with Taiwan. They're also amassing troops. So a lot of things are happening, folks. Now, the implication of war with Russia, it's very serious because while the media keeps us busy with all this fucking COVID and racial tensions, the world is slowly moving, you know, the pieces in this chess game, they're moving towards war. And the leader of the free world, folks, is a senile man with a prostitute sidekick.
That's what they wanted. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah.
This is what they wanted. When this guy literally looks at a camera and he's literally drooling, basically, like, you can't take this fucking guy serious. When he goes, don't send troops to the border. What is Putin going to do? Fuck you.
Right.
That's what I would do.
And you know,
weakness.
Exactly, weakness.
This country's the weakest it's ever been.
Japan, for the first time in history, has moved ships and troops in defense of the United States. They make their first official visit to the United States, and Biden, the leader, right? This is the first official visit from any foreign country, right? Japan. And where's Biden? He's nowhere to be found. He sends Kamala Harris, which was an awkward. I don't know if you saw that video, Tim, but it was freaking
awkward. Oh my God,
awkward.
It was awkward. Was pissed. That guy was pissed because you got to remember that is a cultural thing.
Yes.
He was not greeted like
by the leader.
The leader, like, that's a respect thing, and it goes all the way down. And you threw like your scraps at me? Like, you're sending that to greet me?
But see,
fuck you.
A lot of people will say, well, no, he was sick. No, but think of what a lot of other people are saying, which is Biden is a puppet for China. A strong Japan has always been a threat to China because, you know, they have that history, right? Japan mm-hmm. did invade a lot of the mainland in China. They have that history that dates back hundreds of years. So
thousands.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But in the last 100 years, they have had issues, and people don't understand that when they talk about geopolitical issues. But this is very serious. Think about what the news media is keeping us busy with COVID, with racial tension. And again, folks, it is looking like a serious confrontation with these world powers is coming. And we're not preparing for that. The leader of the free world. Now, there's something else that happened this past week that I did want to touch on. And again, this is revealing that there was coordination between the media, the deep state, and Russia and maybe China, because the U.S. intelligence community, aka the deep state, they just released this week that they walked back claims. Because remember what happened during the elections? They said that Russia had put bounties on American troops. And this was news back
then.
Because do you remember Biden was going around saying, hey, Trump is not doing anything about this. And he's he's their lapdog. You know, that's what he kept saying. He was in the campaign trail saying, see, he's a puppet for Putin. And so even Liz Cheney, you remember, came out and criticized. And we've known, she's a freaking warmonger because like Romney, they give the left wings, the same left wing smear machine ammunition, because what they'll do is they'll parade him around. CNN, MSNBC will call him in and be like, well, can you talk shit about, the person who's us? Oh, yeah, all day. Yeah. And that's what they did. They said, Trump should be condemning Russia. And it turns out the intelligence community made that, or it looks like they did, right? Because they backtracked and they say, well, there was no official. Oh, okay. So, and then also what happened? CNN got caught on tape again, admitting that they helped Biden get elected. And Twitter,
Project Veritas destroyed them,
dude. I mean, you have the technical. What was he? The technical director or something like that? He had a big position out there. Comes out, says, "Oh, yeah. That was our job. We were trying to get him in power." And meanwhile, everybody's like, oh, yeah, nothing to see here, folks. Nope.
And they would, even COVID, they were like, oh, yeah, we took the ticker down. And they're like, oh, we had to put it back up to instill that fear. They go, and they even said, the racial stuff. They go, yeah, the fear of a white guy getting killed, no big deal. But they go, oh, when you have, that was the guy's words, not mine. The guy said it. And people go, oh, that's Project Veritas is not real. Bitch, he got kicked off of Twitter for that. Yeah. Well, they said that he had multiple accounts that he was using, which is a violation. So that, he's suing Twitter, and I think he's suing Twitter and CNN. No, he's got a big lawsuit, and
he's suing them. Yeah. He needs to because they claimed he had, like you said, he had multiple fake accounts, and he said I don't, and unless they can prove
defamation.
It's defamation. And so, you know, folks, the left has always been totalitarian by nature. This is their default mode. They cannot debate their ideas. So what do? They silence. And there's coordination. There's collusion between CNN, Twitter, the deep state. They're all working in. And so, like you said, right now, James O'Keefe is, you know, filing a defamation lawsuit. I think he already did. And what happened to CNN? You know, and this is why they're trying to keep shit going. Their ratings tanked. You know, they're partly was because of Trump, you know, because he's gone and, you know, people watch because, you know, they shit on Trump all day. So Trump is gone. And, you know, what are they going to do? All they do is they're freaking lapdogs for Biden. So they've lost half of their viewership. And, you know, so anyway, I think
something big just actually broke today.
What happened?
Something big just broke today. So apparently it got caught. The U.S. Postal Service. They've been spying on conservatives.
How?
They've had a whole group spying on conservatives.
How do they, what do you mean? How do they been?
They had a group, and apparently they got a list of conservatives through the RNC or something like that, and they've been using it to spy on conservatives.
They opened up their mail
almost a year now.
What?
No, they got a list of conservatives. They got the conservative list and their mailing address, apparently from the RNC. They got it through somewhere, but they've been secretly monitoring and collecting American social media posts and other things through this, what they call it. The spying program is known as ICOP, Internet Covert Operations Program. Involves goons trolling through social media sites to look for inflammatory posts and then sharing the information with other government agencies.
Wait, so you said the U.S. Postal or the U.S. Department?
U.S. Postal Service.
How? That's weird. How are they spying through social media?
They created a program where they hired people to scour the internet looking for conservatives' posts.
Isn't
and sharing
the U.S. Postal
government
Service
entities.
Supposed to be delivering mail? This is why they're fucking losing billions.
But this broke. Like this is even Yahoo like reported on it. You know what I mean? I think Yahoo might have been the ones that broke the story, and then other people dug deeper. Yeah, this is
Look,
U.S. Postal Service.
But this is what happens, dude. Because they've been all these government agencies are infiltrated by leftists, and they use that as a way to attack conservatives. It never happens the other way around, folks. When was the last time you saw a, you know, liberal, prominent liberal Biden being banned from their platforms? They don't do it because they can't debate. So what they say is, oh, this is offensive or you're inciting violence. Meanwhile, Maxine Waters is literally calling for violence. She has her account. Nothing's happened to her. Nobody condemned her. In fact, every single Democrat stood in, allegiance with her. They didn't refuse to condemn her. And so this is what we're dealing with right now. And, you know, aside from everything else that's happening, you know, the media is just keeping us distracted and they're doing a great job at it. But we're going to leave it there. And I would say
one other quick note.
Yeah.
One other quick note. Something is about to start tomorrow. Today's Wednesday when this show posts. It's probably be a couple days. But the Maricopa election audit is starting on Thursday, April 22nd. It's supposed to last for about 3 weeks. What's interesting about this is no phones, no cameras allowed in, only authorized people. It's happening at the Coliseum. Every counter, there's two cameras and a live stream happening. So at all 24-hour live stream, cameras, everything is fully documented.
That's how they need to do it.
This is going to be interesting. Stay tuned. Even if they find 5,000 ballots, that's good enough for me because that's fraud, right? Right. Might not change the election. It doesn't, but at least you know that this shit is real and it needs to be cleaned up.
I think it's going to be way more than that, dude. I think it's going to be so many.
I think so too.
And it's going to be where it's going to overturn it. And every state
we've been wrong every time. So we'll, you know, somebody will come in and fucking be like, oh, that's not real.
Okay. All right, folks, we're going to leave it there. Hold on. I need you to watch this. The tip. Why is this fucking mouse, dude? Okay, so let me play this for you because this is freaking hilarious. And I'm going to call this one typical liberal. Only because this is what a liberal would do, right? This kid gets stung by a freaking, I think a bee. Watch this shit.
I'm dying. Did he say I'm dying?
I'm dying. typical liberal, right? That kid is going to be a liberal when he grows up. I'm dying. He got stung by a bee on the foot. All right, we'll leave it. It was just that one because the other one that I saved is God. It was make. I'm dying.
I'm dying.
All right. Oh, wait. Oh, hold on. I might have one more. Let me see. Oh, I think this one works too. Just oh, yeah. Look at this one. I don't know if, are you watching, Tim?
Wait, go back. I didn't realize you had it ready.
So what they do is he's trying to guess what his finger is poking. All right. So what they do is they put chocolate in an orange. They put a hole in the orange. They put warm chocolate in there, and then they blindfold him, and then they stick his finger in there, and you'll see what they do.
I'm calling this the hokey pokey.
Can you guess what it is?
Chocolate.
No.
Watch this. The horror in his face.
That looks like something your fucking brothers and sister would have done to you as a kid because you were so much younger than them.
They probably would have.
It's great. That's hilarious.
His horrified look at his face is probably.
He goes, who? At first he did the scream, but then it really sunk in, and then the eyes went back.
The horror.
Hilarious. You know what? That's family of the year right there, man. That's a good family. That's a fun family.
If you don't mess with your siblings, right? Oh, my God. All right. We're going to leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Hopefully, Heidi and Jeremy join us next time. But we'll leave it there. And Mike Lindell, I guess he came out with his app. We're still waiting to hear from Trump's app. But I tried to sign up for Mike Lindell's, but it crashed.
No, he had to shut it down.
Why?
No, he got DDoSed.
That's why. Oh, so he was attacked. I was like, what happened? I can't even get logged in. So now you know. So they got to iron out those tweaks. And obviously it's going to happen because, you know, it's conservatives and you're going to have those weirdos out there who are going to try to silence them. All right, we'll leave it there. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Guten Tag.
See ya.
They're not here.
Bye.